Well, good afternoon. Maybe let's start a little bit with why at all we need to monitor stress levels in olive trees. And for once, the consumption of olive oil has almost doubled from the late 1990s to the early 2000s. And to be able to produce the growing demand, what happened mostly is that people were first moving from extensive to intensive methods, or in other words, started applying irrigation to traditional orchards, but also many orchards, new orchards, have been planted, and they were to begin with designed to be irrigated. So we are talking about large areas of irrigated orchards, but we do know that the best management practice is that we need to maintain some level of stress to the trees in order to optimize both quantity and quality of the olive oil that we can get. So the overall objective of this research, which is an ongoing research, is to examine the potential use of thermal imagery to monitor water status in olive orchards. And why thermal imagery? Well, for once, we don't apply any interference to the trees, or we just from remote get all the information that we need. And also, what is very tempting about it is that we get instantaneous snapshots of the entire orchard instead of just, sampling a few trees here and there, and assuming that these trees that we are sampling are representing the entire orchard. So, provided that we're using an instantaneous snapshot, the time at which this snapshot is acquired might have an effect on the stress that we're detecting. So, the specific objective of what I'm going to show now was to determine the optimal time of image acquisition for the detection of water stress in these olive trees. And the basic principle, which I'm sure most of you are very well known, acquired with, is that the lower the temperature of the leaf is, the better the tree's water status, right? And that's simply because trees that are doing more photosynthesis are transpiring more. That leaves less energy to heat the leaf area, and we get a lower leaf temperature overall. But the leaf temperature itself cannot directly be used as an indicator for the stress level, because of course the temperature will be determined also and very much by environmental conditions. So one of the very basic, very simple approaches to deal with that and still use the thermal data or the canopy temperature is by normalizing the canopy temperature to these dry and wet temperatures. And this is a very simple and tempting formulation. This is called the Cope Water Stress Index. It's long been used, and all the complexity of this method is hiding behind these two temperatures that we are normalizing, that are supposed to be representing a non-transpiring leaf having the highest temperature possible, and then a wet temperature that is a leaf that is fully transpiring or transpiring at its potential rate. Now, what that is a good question. How to obtain these two temperatures is the story around this whole thing. In very general, and I'm not going to get into details, there are two approaches that are being used. One is just by measuring some sort of a reference temperature for the wet temperature and then assuming the dry temperature being slightly higher than the air temperature. What is slightly is another good question. Mostly it is taken as 7 centigrades above air temperature. It could be 5, it could be maybe more, it could, but many times that's what is taken as the dry temperature, and then the wet temperature is measured actually by having some sort of a wet cloth that is floating on a water reservoir. The other option is of course to determine these two by the energy balance approach, and well, how well each of these are reproducing what we are measuring in other techniques, which we'll see in a minute. That's something that I'm trying to evaluate right now. The results that I'm going to show today, which are right out of the oven, are simply those that are measured. The experiment is conducted in the northern part of Israel, in the Negev Desert. Well, actually, in the fringe of the Negev Desert. It's a fairly semi-arid area. What we have is a very nice set of 28 lysimeters, out of which in 16 there are individual olive trees planted. And so what's nice about these lysimeters, with all the problematic issues of being above the soil and whatever that causes to their microclimate and to the energy balance, we do have a very nice and very controlled water balance evaluation. If we look at this example here for a 24-hour, these are each of them is on separately on a scale, so we have a continuous measurement of their weight. So each change in their weight, at least for this short period of time, is a representative of changes in the water content that there is. So if we take here the baseline, just for example, at midnight, doesn't have to be, and then we know how much drainage there is because we instantaneously open the valve to drain whatever is drained throughout the 24 hours, and then we know how much water we apply to each individual tree. This would be the transpiration, or maybe the evapotranspiration, but the soil is covered by a geotextile cloth, so we assume that evaporation is a very small, if not negligible, so that would be transpiration. And then we are ending again here. In this case, it's in the same baseline as we started with. It doesn't necessarily have to be. And then if we look at what the transpiration is, we have the irrigation that, again, we know how much it is because that we determine that. And then we know how much the drainage is. And we also know the difference between the baseline and the end level, which is the different in the storage, and we can compute the transpiration. Now we conducted this experiment during about a little bit longer than a week, starting in August 27th. Where we had these 16 lysimeters that we divided into two groups. Well, these olive trees are well irrigated throughout all the time. And so for this short period, what we did is we took half of them and just resumed or we stopped irrigation for them, and we followed their drying process. So at each of these days, starting August 27 all the way to September 2nd, we measured at noon all the parameters that I will show in a minute. And then on September 2nd, which was the most stressed situation that we allowed the trees to get, because on September 3rd, we already resumed irrigation, we did the urinal measurements. We started at 4 o'clock in the morning and went all the way to 8 o'clock. So we had pre-dawn and after sunset measurements. And what we measured simultaneously was the stem water potential using a pressure bomb. And these we conducted like every somewhere between half an hour to an hour and a half, depending on what we could do and how many repetitions we could do with each of the instruments. And we also measured stomata conductance and photosynthesis. Well, I'm not going to show any data from the photosynthesis because it's not yet been analyzed, but we did also measure that. And then, of course, the thermal imaging. So if we look a little bit at what we got is, if we first look at the stem water potential, we clearly see the green line in all of these figures represents the well-watered trees, and the red one is the stressed trees. Of course, very quickly, look, we can see clear differences in all the measurements, and the only one that we start off with a deviation is the stem water potential, and that is because when we measure stem water potential with a pressure bomb, pre-dawn, we actually measure the soil water potential. And of course we will have a difference in the soil water potential in the stressed and well-watered trees. So that's why we see here to begin with a difference. And if we look closely, it's a little bit difficult to see it in the way that the data is presented, but there is an increase in this difference towards noon, and then, we don't really see a decrease back. But if we look at the transpiration and stomata conductance, in both of them we can see very similar trends. We see, of course, no transpiration early in the morning, and then the well-watered trees are starting transpiring. They're transpiring up to about 10 liters an hour. And I'm sorry, I didn't convert it to an equivalent depth, but they show a clear, nice diurnal pattern, while the stressed trees start to transpire a little bit in the morning, and then they kind of maintain a very, very low level of transpiration throughout the day, all the way to the afternoon, and then decreasing. And we see pretty much the same pattern here. Now, if we look at the canopy temperature, we can see that, again, there is almost no difference or there is no difference in the temperatures in the beginning of the day and in the end of the day. And here we see a nice increase and then back decrease of the differences in temperature between the well-watered and the stressed. And if we then try to see how it looks in terms of the crop water stress index, which is more of what we're interested in, it's more messy than if we try to look at the difference. We kind of see the same shape as we see with temperature, but it's a lot scattered, a lot more scattered. And what I want to, and then of course the largest difference would be around noon, probably between 11 and 2, something like that. So if we want to detect stress, that would probably be the better time to do that. But what I really want to show here, and that is, I think, my take-home message from this talk, is that we must know at what time the image is acquired if we want to know what is the stress level of the tree. Because if we, just for example, and I know I stretched it a little bit to the edges, and it won't be reasonable to make measurements at 9 in the morning anyways, but if we take the what that would be 0.45 as a crop water stress index, if we take the image at around 9 o'clock in the morning, that would indicate or might indicate a stressed tree. While if the same value, if we took the snapshot in the afternoon, would clearly indicate a well-watered tree. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's really important that we consider also the time of the day at which the image is acquired when we are analyzing the meaning of the crop water stress index. And so just to conclude, the diurnal dynamics of canopy temperature, as expected, followed the pattern of stomata conductance. The maximum temperature difference between stressed and well-watered trees was, and again, that is expected, was found around noontime. And the crop water stress index showed a diurnal pattern similar to that of canopy temperature, more or less. And again, the time at which the image is acquired has a significant effect on the detected level of stress, and so we must account for that. And here's just a brief overview of how that may be seen. This is a field where we are doing in another experiment that's not doesn't have anything to do with the data that I just showed you, but here's a plot of well-watered trees, and these are stressed trees, and here's how it looks in a thermal image. And I think with that, I conclude.